Wow, thanks for all of these SMSs that are coming in for self-esteem engineer Bev Malone, who is entering the studio as we speak. Please do continue to keep them coming. 0861 24 24 36. It's always better to call in, because if you call in, we take your numbers first, and also you get to interact with Bev. So, or just SMS your birth date through to 34519. Good morning, Ms. Malone.
Good morning, Miss Liberty.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, darling. Have you had a good week?
I have, indeed.
I'm glad Thank to you. Hear that. Good, good, good. Should we get going?
Yes, let's do it.
Fantastic. Right. First person who sent through the SMS this morning, female born on the 3rd of the 11th, 1966.
3rd of the 11th, 1966.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay. So, no other message, no... What no. will the world hold tomorrow?
No. Not specific, just that.
Ah, okay.
The next one's a little bit more specific, but right now, female, 3rd of the 11th, 1966.
All right, so her life is about self-management, and I think all of our lives on one level or another is very much about that. But she loves things to be beautiful, perfect, well done, finished off, etc. To look good. She likes to dress well. She likes to be followed. She likes to lead. She's a social nurturer. You know, there's all this strong opinion and underlying theme is a caregiver and a nurturer and etc. who likes flow. And don't stand in the way of her flow, because if you stand in the way of her flow, then you're going to get the temperament. You're going to get the very dictatorial, aggressive response. Not really a response, a reaction, right? And so what I'm going to say to her in a nutshell is everybody here, whether we like it or not, is part of a program. So if you only believe we have one life, you're born, you live, you die, then you have one particular kind of program in which the accountability you have for what you do is only particular to one existence. Might be easier. If I'm getting away with not taking care of myself, if I'm getting away with not taking care of this one or that one, perhaps I'm in a good space. Perhaps it's okay as long as I get away with it, because I live, I die, it's done. And so where's the accountability? Where's the need for all this personal development and growth? Why do I have to look at how I behave? Why do I even have to have a value system? Who cares? If you get away with it, you win, right? The other alternative is to say, this is a passing through. I've been somewhere before, I'll be somewhere again, and the goal is to have as little to deal with in each time as possible, perhaps, and therefore in each time to elevate oneself and to look at oneself. And I suppose coming into the 21st century, which is very much about flow, which is it's a two century, it's very much about nurturing flow, growth, it's about opportunity, and it's about looking around and creating flow and not leading the way necessarily all by yourself, which is what the 1900s was about. And we saw that, you know, the patent office will testify to it, that in the early 1900s, they thought every patent that would ever be given out was given out. And look what happened in the last 60 years of the since World War II. I mean, it was the most unbelievable amount of growth and leadership and development in medicine and technology and anything, in absolutely anything. This century is not about that. And so now we have this awakening amongst people, and it doesn't matter their demographic, and it doesn't matter anything about their country or whatever. There is an awakening about coaches and self-help groups and self-help books. I mean, it used to be that the only person who was writing anything about that really was Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. And now the people who know Napoleon Hill's name are amongst a few, because there's a self-help book a day. You could have 365 new self-help books a year to go through and to try and grow from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is this? Because this is about self-management. Whether you believe it's about live and die, or you believe that this is a life that's in a cycle of many lives and many opportunities to grow and refine yourself, it is about development. It is about refinement. It is about self-management, self-preservation, self-aggrandizement. Does not work anymore. It doesn't work to be the hero of the day and want to be clapped for it, because you're the hero for the moment and you're honored and you're given a medal and you might be given some money with it, but you need to go on to be the hero of the next day again. And the biggest heroes are the heroes of the day in their lives, in their families, in their communities, in their amongst their colleagues every day. These are the heroes, the people doing it every day with an integrity, with a determination to grow and to refine oneself. And so for this lady and for all of us, it is an opportunity for self-refinement. And some of us are born with more need for self-refinement than others. I can put my hand up on that, you know, check me. I think I stood in the line for self-refinement twice by accident, because there's so much stuff I have to perpetually work on to refine myself, to improve myself, to elevate myself, to do better, to refine my responses, the way my mouth lets out the things I'm feeling. I have to control that. I have to refine it, because it can be incredibly destructive and it can be beautifully elevating, and it can be neutral. And one has to make certain that you realize you're responsible for what comes out of your mouth, and you're also responsible for what goes into it. So I mean that for this lady particularly, in what you expose yourself to, not just in food, but in media, in movies, in literature. It doesn't matter. You choose what goes in. One of the reasons I kept away from watching, allowing my son to watch television on a normal basis for as long as I humanly could, and, you know, I lost, but as long as I could, was because it's one thing to allow him to watch a movie like, what's it, To Infinity and Beyond, whatever, Toy Story. Right? Thank mm-hmm. you. So it's one thing to choose it and say, yes, I'm okay with him watching that, because there's nothing in between. But when you have adverts, and when you have all these other movies that are coming that they're advertising, etc., in between the movie you've chosen for your child and given them permission to watch and deemed is okay, there's all the stuff that comes in that you have no control over. So I decided to take responsibility for what he'd be exposed to in between the movies, and say that I don't give them permission to just put anything into his head at an age in which he could be corrupted by it. Now, I'm going to be honest and stretch that and say that I can see how sensitive this woman is. She doesn't pretend to be sensitive. She tries to pretend not to be sensitive, but she's profoundly sensitive, and that's beautiful. Sensitivity is not a weakness. It's an attribute. It means that I'm sensitive to how you treat me, and I'll be sensitive to how I treat you if I remain aware of it. But when it comes to media and anything coming in and the self-preservation, it means you need to look at, what do you allow yourself to be shown? I wish to this day, and, you know, this is no denigration to my parents because they do know this, I wish to this day that at 6 years old they did not let me watch Jaws. Because to this day, I cannot get into a swimming pool. I cannot go near the ocean. I've had it repatterned. I have tried to work on it. I get near water and I'm alone. That's it. I knew it. You see, there's a shark in the studio. In fact, I used to.
Sorry, babe.
I used to train at a gym. I used to swim train at a gym with a friend of mine. The one day she hadn't arrived, I went back and I phoned her so many times. And she was like, what's the problem? Just start swimming. I'm coming. I'm just running late. I was like, no, I can't. There's no one else swimming. And then there's no choice. Mm. You know, then if it's just me, that for sure the shark's going to get me. Like, there's no question. I'm swimming and it's like, I wish I hadn't watched it. Do you understand?
I understand.
Right. So what I'm saying is that for this lady, for everyone, for anyone who's willing to like really take a good look at themselves, you have control over what media, for the most part, what media you allow yourself to be exposed to and how it will govern your choices and your actions and your thoughts and your fears and your dreams. It is your responsibility. And for her, I'm going to say specifically, a lot of your work is about self-management. It's okay. Not an easy life. Some of it's about just letting yourself free a bit, you know?
Okay.
For her, it's self-management.
Thank you, Bev. That was the female, 30 the 11th, 1966. Let's take a break. After the break, we're going to look at Ansie van Eerden's birth date. 16 minutes to 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Self-esteem engineer Bev Mulun is in the studio. We're looking at your birth dates. A whole lot of SMSs to get through. But if you want to go to number one in the queue, I suggest you call in. Always better to call directly, and then Bev gets to ask you questions and really go a lot deeper. 0861 24 24 36. Okay, Ansie van Eerden, she says, I'm female. Date of birth, 11th of March, 1960. No specific topic, but overall, my personality and what to do to cope with daily life.
Right. So overall personality is somebody who is caring and nurturing with strong opinions and strong judgments. Now, she might be saying, I'm not judgmental. That's not what I'm saying. You have a strong capacity to assess people events, you name it, and see where it fits in your expectation list, right? So you have very high expectations, and see, now that's quite exhausting, isn't it? Because so many times people are going to fall so far short of them, and mostly that's going to be because you don't articulate what your expectation is. So it's fine to have expectations. You know, I've been asked before, are you saying we shouldn't have standards? Heavens no. If we don't have standards, we don't have opportunity for growth, and we don't have opportunity to stretch ourselves to deliver more. So of course we should have standards. The question is whether or not those standards are serving of our relationships, of our opportunities, of ourselves, of the way we attach ourselves to our work, of what we're willing to do and what we're not willing to do. So she has an idealism about how she believes the world should be, which the world falls far short of. I can assure you, anybody who has any idealism about a nurturing, caring, honest, just, moral, integrous world is sorely disappointed at this point. And they were disappointed in the 1400s, and they were disappointed in the 1800s, and they're disappointed now. And in the 2200s, they will be disappointed just as much. Why? Because there is 7 billion growing population on the planet, and not everybody believes in morality, and not everybody believes in integrity. And therefore, when we have people who have their own sense of justice, then the people who are sensitive to the dignity of life and the preservation of life are going to be disappointed. So, and see, managing daily life means we have a hope for the day, we have a plan for the day, we set our standards for the day, our expectations of what will happen, and we go through the day with the flexibility to know that there are several opportunities that could arise that could be different to what we were hoping for, and that if it's not exactly as we wanted it to be, it is exactly as it was supposed to be. And in the flexibility it takes on our part to manage the difference between what we wanted and what is what shows our growth and what shows and defines who we are in the world. Very few times I can tell you that my full day of expectations is met, one after the other after the other. Very few times. And when it is, I'm like celebrating, and when it's close to it, I'm grateful, and when it's nothing like that, the gratitude comes later when I see all the growth and work that had to come from that day and how I've improved as a human being. But it's seldom on the day. There's nothing quite as frustrating as having your plans thwarted and your intentions not met. It's hard, it's challenging, it's not fun. But if you want to know how to manage yourself on an everyday basis, there's two things I'm going to offer you before we move on. The one is, you're a sensitive person. You have huge expectations. They're not always going to be met. And very seldom are you going to be met with people who are evil because of it. So what I'm saying is, have your expectations, but carry also the possibility that they will not entirely be met, and the almost guarantee that they're unlikely to be met if you do not articulate what that need is. So I'll give you an example in everyday life. If I phone a company and I want to get something done, I will stipulate very clearly at the beginning of the conversation what my hope is for the outcome of that conversation. I'm phoning you because I would like this and this and this and this to happen. And I'm going to tell you what's happened, and let's see how we can marry the two. But many people will phone and start with the drama. When I came to your company, da, 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 when I had this made, da, da, when I ordered this, right, and the person's going, oh, switch off, I'm so tired of this, etc. I don't know where the end point is, I don't know what the point is at all, and I've got to listen to this. And when are you going to get to the point, person, right? But if you stipulate what the end point is, then you already give a scope and a line to focus on, to give them to say, okay, well, so that's what happened and that's what you want. The truth is, I'm not the right person. I can't do that. And I've had that several times with call center people who've said, I don't have the authority to make that decision. You need to speak to my supervisor. Fantastic. Well, that cut a 20-minute call short to 2 minutes, and I'm only too grateful, because how many times have you gone through, and I'm challenging people on this, and I'm challenging Ansi on this, how many times have you had a conversation on the phone about something you're upset about, and they've said, okay, I have to refer you. and you start the whole conversation again, and you get to the end of it with that person, they go, I'm not the right person to speak to. I have to refer you. Have you had that? Right. So it happens to people all the time, and I'll tell you why. Because you're not managing the conversation with an honesty about your expectation. You're not telling the truth about what your hope is, because you don't want to be risk disappointment, or you don't have that skill yet. I'm giving you that skill. Do with it as you wish. You can use it, don't use it. I use it, works better for me. But if you don't use it, then just ask your question, my question. How's that working for you? Mm. Is it serving you? Do you come out more frustrated? Because if you're getting onto the phone to handle a problem, you know right off the bat you're frustrated. If you don't handle it correctly and it gets more convoluted, you're more frustrated. Very few of us have an hour to go sort out a crisis and say the same story 3-4 times, right? So this is a life skill I'm offering. I hope it works for you, Ansie. Let me know. When you need something resolved, be it with a company, with a person, a colleague, a partner, a child, it doesn't matter. Be very certain about what you are hoping for. And be willing to put that out there right off the bat and then begin the process. And without realizing it, you'll cut out a lot of the superfluous extra information on the way to that resolution because you've already set the intention there. A lot of the time, the story we tell is because we're scared if I leave something out, the end won't come right. I'll give you everything. And it's suddenly 27 episodes of the saga instead of 2.5 minutes of it. Any resolution of conflict that takes longer than 5 minutes was not handled correctly on the average forum. I'm not talking about world war or politics, although one could argue that 2.5 minutes is about right. So any resolution of conflict that takes longer than 5 minutes has been handled with emotion and not truth, because emotion clouds things. Emotion gives me the right to add things in that maybe didn't happen exactly that way, to add in examples of things you've done wrong in the past that don't have anything to do with this, examples of how frustrated you've been with other people or companies, which have nothing to do with this. And do you feel better? Is it working for you? How's that serving you?
Let's take a break. Thanks, Bev. After the break, another female, and also born in the 60s, believe it or not, the 13th of the 9th, 1961. 13th of the 9th, 1961. Can we call it a fabulous Friday? I think we can. We got through the week. And, we made it. And it's always great on a Friday, even though we had the pain and the loss and the anger and the fear and the everything that came with it, with the conflict in the Middle East and Israel and the ongoing stories. It is Friday, and we're going to still celebrate, aren't we, Bev?
Absolutely.
Have to.
Yes. If nothing else, we can celebrate that there is no rocket fire for now.
Exactly.
There's something to celebrate for people on both sides.
And that it may be, I don't know, you know, I'm such an idealist, it may be the beginning of something, but maybe not. Female, 13th of the 9th, 1961. And continue, we do have a few more minutes. And remember what I said, if you call us, Bev will take your call first. But we are looking at the female born on the 13th of the 9th, 1961.
Whose work is all about being flexible and honest. So that does not mean I'm calling you a liar, my dear. What it does mean is that I'm saying you're not honest with what you feel in the moment. You're honest with what you think. And it's a work in progress. We all have to work through that. That you'll feel pain, and instead of responding from the place of that pain, you respond from its army. The protectors, which is judgment, indignation, rage, fury. Who are you? How dare you? Don't think you can, etc. Right? How could you hurt me is what you're saying. How could you disappoint me? How could you let me down? That's where you should be speaking from. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling let down. I'm feeling disappointed. But we so often respond in a reaction with our soldiers. So this is a perfect example for this lady, because I know that she does it and then also tends towards being the victim. I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe it. If it happened, it happened. An inability to believe what has just happened to you might require some medical support. It happened. Now you have to deal with the consequences of it. Mm. And many times the consequences of somebody making an error with whom you are closely connected is hurt, disappointment, a small feeling, feeling left out, excluded, abandoned. All of those things, they're small, vulnerable feelings. And so because we are not at all monkeys, of course not, but of course we do have similar protective mechanisms, this pounding of the chest to make ourselves feel better, we have the army to protect us. And that army puts us in a position of judgment. You hurt me, therefore you must be evil. You must be wrong. And I'm going to point out where. So instead of saying, wow, that hurt, and giving yourself a moment to go, wait, why am I feeling sad about that? Why am I feeling hurt about that? Finding out what it is and then speaking from that place and saying, actually, that was hurtful because I was hoping that you would say this, this, and this, or do this, this, and this, and I'd prefer that you did that, and I'm disappointed.
Mm.
Now what does the person say? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that there was, I'm sorry, I wasn't even thinking, I was caught up in what I'm doing, I didn't mean to hurt you, I'm sorry, no, of course I can do that, sure, I'm so sorry, I'll try my best not to do that again, and now because I care about you, I'll be more aware of what your need is in this particular area and do my best to meet it up front.
Mm-hmm.
But because there was honesty, there was truth about what was actually going on, all the drama is eradicated.
Mm.
But when you feel that hurt, and instead of being honest about it, your response is to say, I can't believe you do that. Who do you think you are? You're so this, you're so that. You do this all the time. You're so selfish, etc. That's not truth. Because the person probably isn't all those things. Or why on earth would you want to be their friend? Or why would you want to be in business with them? Or why would you want to be in a relationship with them? Why would you, for the most part, have a lot of love? Or why would you even be hurt? People for whom you share no connection, you cannot be hurt by. If a complete stranger engages with you in a shopping line and says ridiculous things and that hurts you, you may need some boundaries around where you let people in and where you don't.
Mm.
But for the most part, it is just the opinion of a person who may be in their own crisis, who knows nothing about you, who has no interaction with you, has no idea what your needs, hopes, preferences, and choices are. They have no value in your life as an opinion holder. If you give them that power, that's you giving it away. That's not anyone claiming it. People can claim whatever they want. You have to give them permission to have that power in your life. So what I will say for this lady is that the work in sharing what it is we had hoped for in such a powerful woman who's so capable of outreach and helping and stretching the boundaries of where she helps and where she puts herself, and this is a strong, dependable, loyal, committed woman. This is not an airy-fairy woman. Her challenges are in and around the flexibility of being, of staying out of the drama of being a victim, of staying out of the drama of being an emotional responder, and being more ready and willing to be honest with the vulnerabilities that come up. That doesn't make you weak. It doesn't disempower you. It puts you in an unbelievable place of strength that you're willing to be vulnerable and still know that your value as a human being and your abilities as a human being and what you are not compromised by that honesty.
Thank you very much. Strong note you left that one with, Bev. Thanks so much, and hope that you got a lot of value out of that. I'm sure the three birth dates that you looked at certainly did. And Bev, you'll be with us same time next week, 9:30.
Great.
Looking forward. Have a good week.
You too.
Self-esteem engineer Bev Malone, who joins us every Friday. And incidentally, we are going to be doing a show with Bev when we're going to be looking at relationships. And if you find yourself stuck in a relationship you're finding it difficult to move forward, you're finding it difficult to make the connection, or perhaps just that communication, Bev is going to be working with couples, and we're going to be doing it on the radio. We will, if you prefer, keep it anonymous and all your details private. No one would know. It would just be a case of coming onto the show and getting Bev to work with you. And your relationship, and the rest of the Chai FM community, I believe, would benefit greatly from that. So if you are interested, please do put your name forward. And again, those names will be kept confidential. Just email your details to love@chaifm.com. That is love@chaifm.com.